Welcome to This Week in Missouri Politics Midweek Update. Coming to you from our studios here in Jefferson City, Missouri. Very glad to join you. Busy week. Let's just start right off. You have, committees are an interesting thing. Sometimes more interesting than the floor. In the Senate and House, you've got to deal. We'll talk about trans issues. And I've got a stack of questions, folks, which I'm glad for. We'll start off first by thanking my buddy Brad from Sedalia. This is a State Fair beer stein. I love it. It is going to be one of my prized possessions. I'm very grateful. Brad, thank you so much. This is, I could not be happier having this gift. It means a lot to me. Thank you. Also, remember Courtyard by Marriott. You're coming in for session. You want to come and check out one of these hearings? Be a pro. Look, you don't want to have to tell people, oh, drop me off at an inferior hotel. You look like a rookie. You look like a chump. Courtyard by Marriott is where the pros stay. There's about two places in this town where you could see everybody you want to see. Grand Cafe and the lobby of the Courtyard. That's where you want to be. Let's talk about trans athletes. So there's like three things going on here. You have an issue of biological males. And this is where, honestly, I don't really know that many people that are trans. I have a friend named Kendall who's taught me a lot of things, frankly. But they were called, it was described by like Denny Hoskins, who's a reasonable person. He says, trans athletes, and then the person says, well, don't call me the biological male. Well, I'm going to call it biological male because I don't know the lingo. Take me, it's sincere. So a biological male is transitioning and wants to play female sports. My heart goes out to somebody. That's got to be a tough thing to do. It's got to take a lot of courage, and it's not an easy thing to. I can't imagine what will go into that type of transition. So, however, there is the Republican Party has done a lot, and the folks of this state have given a lot of votes to the Republican Party based off essentially some bigotry in the past. I personally believe that it is not inherently bigoted, although I would agree with you. A lot of the motivation is political and it is bigoted. But I don't believe it's inherently bigoted to say that you shouldn't have a clear advantage in a sporting event. Now, do I hear most Republicans up in arms about girls' athletics? No, not very often. Do I think this is political? Yes, I do. But also, I do think this. I probably buy more beers in more counties of this state than most anybody you know. And I will tell you, and if you want to match me and see how many counties I've had a beer in at the end of any year, we'll sit down and we'll make a wager on it. But I'm going to tell you, regular folks care about this. Nobody, even Doug Beck, who's got a lot of sense, he says this is not the issue to talk about. This is a silly issue, which, okay, fine. It is not that impactful. However, I think there'll be more transgender individuals as time goes on, as it becomes more socially accepted. So while it is not hardly anybody today, there will be a day when there's more folks that are transgender, and there'll be more situations like this where they'll be wanting to switch sports. Now, I thought Carrie Engle shined. She looked about half pissed off and about half smarter than everyone. But look, when you're on the offense, like, it's fun to go to a committee when you're in her spot and you're just on the attack. Harder when you're defending your bills, right? And I didn't watch all that circus last night, but I did watch a little bit of it. And you had Jamie Berger, who's a good guy. Do I think Jamie Berger is homophobic? No, I don't. Do I think Jamie Berger believes that you should not, even if you're in this situation of transition, you should not play girl sports? Yes, I do. Does that make him inherently a bigot? No, I don't believe that it does. So we would be off if somebody was telling me Jamie Berger somehow all of the things Democrats say about folks, racist, sexist, homophobic, all the things. I would take a real issue with that. I don't believe that's true at all. Now, do I? And I think he just thinks it's not fair. It's not right. Now, you could say, I heard one folks say, well, the purpose of sports isn't winning. No. Let me just tell you, the purpose of sports is winning. Now, there's a lot of things that go along with that as far as team building, participation. I guess in the suburbs, they give participation trophies, I guess, right? But let me just tell you, to the rest of the state, no, the purpose of football game is to win the football game. Now, I think one point that's not been brought up is if the young woman now, who was previously a man and still in some ways biologically is a man, if that person wanted to wear, to dress in the dress that they want to dress in and identify with and play boy sports, I don't see the problem with that. If you wanted to have a longer hairstyle or whatever you felt like expressed you, then you should be able to do that, but probably on the men's team, right? I don't think anybody have a problem with that. So I don't see this as, do I see the motivation of this as political? And part of that is a bigoted thing. Yeah, I do. I see your point there. I just think also there's people that truly just believe you shouldn't have girls playing in boys or boys playing in girls sports, biological, however they want to identify. It's not that big a deal, but in reality, a lot of people in the state care about this issue. And I think it's a major mistake for Democrats to pretend people don't care about this. Should they? Well, you know, I've never seen the people of the state care too much of being told what they should care about and not care about. But we'll see. The fact is, Caleb Rowden, I took real issue once on a radio show. Somebody referred to Caleb Rowden as a bigot. He's the president of the Senate. Caleb Rowden is absolutely not a bigot. Caleb Rowden has stood up for gay people more than once in his career, has taken immense heat from members of his own party for standing up for gay people to see how he's treated. Caleb Rowden does not deserve to be talked about in that manner, in my opinion. Caleb Rowden last year put this bill on Thursday for perfection, which you do not see very often. If you watch the Senate or the House for that matter, third reads are about third read Thursday, and then they leave. He put this up for perfection, knowing that you had Republicans running for Congress, just wanted to leave. They would lose a quorum. He knew the Republicans would lose a quorum, right? And Greg Razor gave a tremendous filibuster. It went on, and then here we are. The fact is, Caleb Rowden knew what he was doing. He did that to have the bill heard and have the bill have floor time. And then, frankly, the members of his own party didn't want to stay to perfect the bill. Now, I think Greg Razor would have talked for a very long time. Now you come to a situation where he gave it a year. The fervor did not go away. Matter of fact, it got stronger. The people of this state, this is a policy they want. Now, you know, I don't really think that's a debatable point. I think even Senator Beck talked about how 80% of his district would be for passing a bill. I think they're going to pass a bill. I think it may be one of the first things that comes out of the state Senate. You hope for the good of the Senate, they find a bill that can be passed, excuse me, that is not, that doesn't have to be PQ'd, because that'd be, is this an important issue in reality? No, probably not. Is this an important issue to a lot of Missourians? Yeah, it probably is. You'd hate to see something this trivial. Of course, I think anything's trivial compared to a PQ, but be PQ'd. And it's going to take a lot of leadership on Senator Razor's part to come to something he can allow to go to a vote, which I'm sure he'll vote no on. And Caleb Rowden has earned the respect of people to take him at his word in good faith on matters like this. So that's just my thought. There's going to be a bill pass. The House will pass it in 10 seconds. The Senate will obviously struggle. It will be a long filibuster. It'll be a long night. But at the end of that long night, I do believe that the Senator Razor will be able to find the leadership in him to not make him PQ it, because I think they probably will. I think they probably will PQ the bill and pass it, I believe the governor will sign it. And, you know, I don't understand all the issues being transgender. I certainly don't have any animosity toward anybody that's transgender. However, I do believe the people of the state want this policy. And if the best argument I've heard, which is, oh, this issue isn't that big a deal, well, then it's not that big a deal, right? But it'll be very interesting. It'll be a real test of leadership in the Senate. Can they pass a bill like this without having to PQ it? And if you look at the House hearing last night, it'll probably be just as insane next week in the Senate. The Senate floor debate will be just as crazy. Hat tip to the, I don't know, Kelton, help me out here. I won't get in trouble. The ladies that dressed in drag, the men that dressed, whatever the appropriate word is. Okay. I thought it was awesome. The drag queens came to the hearing in full regalia. Well, that was kind of cool. I've never seen that before. A great picture of Jay Ashcroft who, here's the thing, whatever you think of JS, he's the nicest person in the world. Jay Ashcroft's a very nice man. Talking to a drag queens about, I'm sure, stuff Jay Ashcroft really wasn't interested in talking about, right? I don't think Jay Ashcroft thought, oh, I know what I want to do. I want to go talk to drag queens who probably aren't my biggest fans. So that's the picture, the takeaway I'll take away from last night is, I mean, I like it when he comes down and testifies. You know, I think it's kind of neat. Shows respect to the House. But we'll see. I thought it was silly once I let Rudy Giuliani testify on a TV screen, but not a regular Missourian. You know, talk about a guy. Wow, Rudy Giuliani used to be like the greatest top statesman. He's just shot that to hell. I mean, damn. Is there anybody that's lost like esteem faster than that guy? Ah, damn. So then the Senate did some education stuff. I mean, look, here's the thing. They're going to want all of these things. Like, you've got a very well-funded, talented group of people lobbying for their charter schools, a lot of them out of state owned, to get more money. And that's the end goal here. The problem is they've used some of these things to divide folks. Now, there's a Twitter account. Oh, gosh. What's the Twitter account? Is it Local Control?
Local Control Mo.
Local Control Mo. It's at Local Control Mo. Whoever's doing Local Control Mo is the first person in education that has known how to talk to a Republican in my lifetime. They put out their own, and I don't know all the facts, or, you know, I watched it. I've been very impressed by it. They are bringing out things about charter schools are pretty woke, much more woke than any public school. And you see people are starting to catch on. And it's, whoever's doing that is the best friend public education the state has. Because I'll tell you, look, I think, you know, Todd Richardson had a standard in an area where the state has failed by its own standards, such as Normandy, I think, failed. Then you could try things like charter schools. Now, charter schools to kind of pick their own people, and there's very little oversight. So, I don't know. It's funny to me. You talk about putting more oversight on public schools, more red tape, more bureaucracy, and then you don't want to put them on. You kind of view that as the problem in the charter school. You put none of those on. So I mean, it's a different thing, but I think that makes a lot of sense to me in places where schools failed. Good for try things, right? If you can't do worse than failing, right? So, but it's been an interesting thing to watch. I will tell you this. I think this is the year they really try to come for their money. I saw Senator Coleman representing Arnold put a bill basically to say you could fund these liberals with all your money. And I'll tell you, there's a secret to this. There's a funding formula right now in the state. Rural people make out very well in the formula. If they rewrite the formula, it will never be as good for rural people. It will stick it to rural Missouri. There's just no other way around it. The state used to be governed by a coalition of labor leaders, African-Americans, and farmers. And they wrote a foundation formula that's very advantageous to rural Missouri. It will never be this good again. If your rep votes for this stuff, it's because of lobbyist money or wanting to fit in with the crowd or doing what he's told. It is not for you. This will not help you. It will hurt you. No question. There's no legitimate argument, I believe, that would actually say this would help you. So when they redo the formula, you'll get stuck. And that's where this will end. And they'll tell you it won't the whole time, like the government always does. That's where the people that pay for the large campaign donations, they're doing that because they want to return, which is totally fine. Totally fine. If you're from the city, good for you. If you're from Festus or Crystal City or Kimswick, this ain't for you. It's going to stick it to you. But if you're from Arnold, yeah, probably good thing, right? Let's go some questions here. All right. From Jennifer. What about, will there be any gun control bills passed this year? Jennifer, I can tell you there will be no gun control bills passed this year. It doesn't matter if there's a shooting once a week at a school. There will not be a gun control passed. The Post and the Star will write many stories about gun control. There will be no bill passed. I'm sorry, that's just the truth. If you weren't lied to, the rest, there's plenty of other newspapers that will tell you what you want to hear. But Jennifer, there will be no gun control bill passed. There will be no gun control bill even seriously debated. Now, I got a sense you think that's a bad thing. That's your decision. That's your call. I'm not here to tell you it's a good thing or a bad thing. You asked me a question. giving you an answer, and I'll be right. You watch. Sign of knowledge. Thanks again, Brad. I got time for, let's do one more here. Why do Republicans pick on transgender? Okay, I'll tell you why. One, they would tell you that this is not picking on transgender. They would tell you it's standing up for girl sports. there's some truth to that. The fact is, I don't think it's personally debatable. If a 17-year-old boy, 17-year-olds as a boy, decides he's going to transition, I don't believe it's not credible to me that somehow he won't have an advantage playing in a girls' league. I don't think that's hard for me to buy, right? So they would view it as protecting a girl sport. Now, I thought it was a terrible look that of the three bill sponsors they brought up first, all of them were guys. I mean, if you're protecting girl sports, I would think you'd want a girl or a woman, I'm sorry, to protect girl sports. I think that was not a great look. You had three bill sponsors, Brian Seitz, Benny Cook, Jane Burr, good guys. But I do think, you know, I would care more about baseball in high school than I would basketball because I played baseball. From the look of me, it might not surprise you that I wasn't much of a basketball player. I would think that the best person to protect girls' sports would have been a woman. But they view it as that, first of all. Number two, I'll tell you why. The truth is, the reason this is an issue is the people of this state want it to be an issue. The people of this state care about this very much. and it's overwhelmingly supported. And the political party that is a supermajority of this part of this state, the members of that party very much want this bill passed. So, I mean, you ask me, I'll tell you my personal thought. It's like this Columbia issue, right, where the kids were at a thing where a drag show happened. I personally don't want my children going to drag show. I don't think it's child abuse like some other folks do. I've been to drag shows. I didn't find it particularly interesting. They weren't really lewd or overly sexual, I didn't think, but it wasn't my cup of tea, right? To each their own. However, I will say this. I don't think I would have raised a big stink, but I would have called the school and said, I don't really think this was appropriate if you took my kids to that. I just don't think they're too young. They're 6 and 13. If I want them to go to a drag show, I'll take them. I wouldn't take my kids to a drag show, not until they're much older. Now, that's my personal decision. You don't have to agree with it, but just not something I would do. I wouldn't take my kids many places that I've been because they're not old enough. They're not adults. As far as why it's an issue, I think the best thing would be this. Go to school, learn reading, writing, and arithmetic. Stop all the diversity stuff. If you're telling me America is so racist and you've been doing these like at Neelyville High School, we did a multicultural day. It was dumb. I remember kids in my class telling me how stupid they were African American, how stupid they thought this was. It's just dumb. I don't think it helps with anything. I think it divides people as much as it does. I just don't think it's effective. If you're telling me the world's very racist and you've been doing Diversity Day for 30 years, well, it's not helping, right? I think you should let your parents do that type of stuff. If the kid's in math class, you don't have to worry about a drag show breaking out at an event. Go to math. Go to reading. Go to writing. Don't make life hard. If you did that, I think schools would be better off. I think part of the thing... we're losing teachers, man. You're asking these teachers to do all these things. Why don't you ask them to teach reading, writing, arithmetic? Why don't you try that? And I think a lot of these other problems are going to solve themselves. I really do. I think you're asking teachers to do all this other stuff that is not teaching. And then you're judging them by what STEM, right? You're judging the student's success by reading, writing, arithmetic. But you're doing reading and then 18 other things. Maybe let the parents help to teach them about diversity. I don't know that all these programs and stuff have helped. If you're telling me the world's super racist, we've been doing these squirrely things for how long? And so that must not be very effective. I think the more the kids just do reading, writing, arithmetic, and the less they do all this other stuff, the smarter they're going to be and better off. Let parents parent and teachers teach. And I think taking things off of teachers and letting them spend more time, I mean, if you're going to say a school fails by the test scores, right? Well, get rid of all the junk and just let them teach. And then I think the test scores might improve, right? I mean, there seems to be some solutions to this. I think folks have gotten they want the schools to do too much. They want schools to be too big a part of people's lives. And again, I'm not sure the government being a bigger part of your life is always the answer. I want to thank everybody. We are going to have our States for the Year announcement Sunday. Sunday, featured guest will be State Senator John Rizzo. We're going to have Aaron McMullen's going to be a debut guy you're going to like. You're going to know, you're going to remember his mustache. But sensible guy from Independence. I know it'll be the first sensible guy from Independence you ever met. That's mostly a shot at Victor Callahan. But I think you'll enjoy, I think you're going to enjoy Aaron. Obviously, Rizzo, gosh, I mean, he just, I mean, it's just an enjoyable conversation when you talk to J.J. Rizzo. So we're going to do that Sunday. We're going to tape it in Warrensburg. And we will see you back here next week for another midweek update for This Week in Missouri Politics. Thanks again, Brad.